It was November 2001, and I was getting ready to head out to the homecoming football game. I had just graduated in June of that year, so technically it was my first homecoming as an alum. I was looking forward to reconnecting with some friends. To be honest with you, in my mind, I was going to meet Wifey. There was a young lady that I had dated off and on through high school, and I had to make sure I looked amazing just in case she was there. I remember the outfit that I had on. It was a black sweater, and it had this white and tan stripe across the chest, and it had a matching skull cap. So that's why I wore that one. Had on some jeans, and I had on a fresh pair of butters. I remember the outfit vividly. I remember going to buy it. I got it from Against All Odds in the King of Prussia Mall. So that's aging myself. I don't even know if Against All Odds is still there. But anyway, so I head down to the field. It's only a few minutes walk from my parents' house. At the time, it was at Roosevelt. And I'm glad I walked because I put on way too much cologne. So I needed to air out. So I'm glad I walked. So anyway, I get to the Velt. And I'm walking by the field. And the entire time, I'm scanning the bleachers because I'm trying to find old girl. I hear somebody call my name. I turn and look. It's my sister. So I walk over to her. At the time, she was a freshman because my last year was her first year. So yeah, so she was a freshman. And so she was at the game. I think she was performing. Yeah, it was a football game. So she was performing at halftime with the guard. So she called me over because she wanted to introduce me to one of her new friends. And so she introduces the girl. She says, "Desi, this is my brother Mike. Mike, this is Desi." I don't remember much of the conversation because, like I said, I was steady looking at the stands trying to find Wifey. So I'm steady looking at the stands, and when I finally see her, she's sitting with a group of our classmates. So I turn back to my sister and I'm like, "Hey, baby girl, I gotta go say what's up to somebody. Desi, nice to meet you. Bye." And I left, and I spent the rest of the game with my friends and with the person that I had gotten all dressed up for. But little did I know. Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp. Becky is, yes.
Wow.
So Becky is basically the catalyst that got you and me started.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. As much as she hated that.
Like it in the beginning at all.
She is.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously introduced us, but mm-hmm. we were young.
Right.
I was 14. You were 19.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We were not interested in each other.
Mm-hmm.
At no point did I look at you and think, "Oh my God, that's going to be my future husband."
Right.
You were not my type.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why?
Just not the kind of guy that I
say it. Really?
Yeah.
Why was I not your type? Say it. Just say it, Desi.
Previous to you, I've only ever dated white boys,
Caucasian males,
men, and
well, you know.
And I, unfortunately, have never had a desire to date anyone of the African-American persuasion.
Hmm. It's funny.
Why?
Just because it is. Anyway. But, you know.
So I was not attracted to you in that sense when I first met you.
Mm-hmm.
So she introduced us. Soon after I met Rebecca, she invited me to her church.
Right.
And because that's what Rebecca does, she is a gatherer.
Mm-hmm.
She invited me to her church, and I went like a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going all the time.
Right.
Every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Friday, shut-ins, all-night prayer,
right.
Dancing all over the world.
Right.
I joined the dance team. I actually joined the dance team before I became a member of the church.
Right.
I didn't become a member until I was like 16 or 17 years old.
Right.
But I had been dancing with that church for, and attending that church 2.5 years, maybe 2, mm-hmm. before that even happened. And then after I was going to church all the time, and I kind of became a family member.
Right. I remember you used to come over Friday night.
I would come over Friday nights, and I would not leave until Sunday night.
Spend
the weekend there.
Right.
Because I would, first of all, I lived down the street, so right. I would go home when I wanted to and come back.
Right.
But it just was easier for us to go to church that way.
Right.
And during that time, me and Rebecca were both in color guard, so we had practice every Saturday. So
competitions were Saturday.
Yeah, we had practice football every games Saturday. Friday. We had football games Friday nights. We had competitions every Saturday, or practice if we didn't have a competition that week, and then church on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Then it got even when we met Robin Brockway. Robin lived across the street from the church.
Right.
We started spending Saturday nights at Robin's. Yeah, so then going to the church all the time and kind of being around your family all the time,
mm-hmm.
I kind of made myself like a staple in your family, mm-hmm. to the point that things would go on in your family and they would be like, "Where's Desi?"
Right.
And I'd be like, "Not actually a member of your family, but thanks."
There's one photo in particular at my Aunt Gloria's house. I was already down here, right? So I was already living down here. And I was mad because I wasn't able to go. Like, stuff like 4th of July and Labor Day at my aunt's house, that's what we did all the time, right? And so I was down here in Florida, and I remember looking at one of the pictures that they took, and everybody was auntie, uncle, cousin, you know, was my family. And then right in the middle of the picture, sitting right next to Becky, was you. And I was like, what is this? Like, y'all just adopted her. And
I made the picture wall.
And you made the picture wall. I still don't know if I'm up there on that wall
yet. You are.
Because I know the first time Q went to Philly, he made it on that doggone wall.
And you're in that picture with Q.
I don't know about that. I don't, that's debatable. I still have to see that. But I don't know
if she still has the picture wall at her house.
I don't know either. But you basically became a part of the family from that point. I remember my Aunt Jean saying that at one of my cousin's weddings.
Yeah.
Mary's wedding. Yeah. Desi been around since she was damn 2.
Since she was 3 damn years old. I was like, not quite. Thank you for the sentiment.
Right.
Anything that didn't get me yelled at, I was fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That one. Anyway, so... And then as all of that, you know, started to develop, you and I became closer.
Mm-hmm.
We exchanged numbers because you used to give me rides all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was easier...
And that was Becky. Becky put your number in my phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier to communicate, like, hey, are you ready? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't really say when it
started,
when it switched, when it turned.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I had a dream,
mm-hmm.
of the man I was going to marry. Like, it was like my wedding day, and I had a dream. I mean, I couldn't really see any details of the wedding, but it was just a person standing there, and all I could ever see was their back. And I think I was in, like, the 5th grade. I had that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think when I was probably, like, 16 or 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
I had that dream again. And this time, the guy turned around, and it was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember waking up the next morning and just being... overwhelmingly head over heels in love. And having no idea where that came from, because I went to bed that night
not being interested.
I nothinged you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I you were a great friend. Mm-hmm. You gave me rides when I needed it.
Big brother figure.
Yeah. And I nothinged you. Right. And then I remember that next day waking up and just being unequivocally, unexplainably, which I don't think is a word.
Unexplainably.
In love. Hmm. And not really knowing how to deal with those emotions, I was not able to hide it as well as I thought in my head I was.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. And then you and I began to talk more and more, and we started to talk more privately. Mm-hmm. Like, we always used to talk, you know, like, we were talking in groups and all together, and then we started talking privately, texting each other. Well, back in the day, texting wasn't like...
Yeah, but we used to text. We used to talk on the phone.
We used to talk on the phone.
But then we used to text too, yeah.
We used to write notes to each other.
Yes, like, we wrote notes and folded it up and then gave it to each other. Right, yeah.
And then that's how we became closer.
Right.
Becky unwittingly became the catalyst that started us on this journey.
Right.
I remember sitting in the kitchen. I don't know, maybe I was like 17 years old. And your mom was saying to Becky, one of these girls you brought in the church is going to be Michael's wife. And I remember my whole body caught on fire and my heart is pounding out of my chest, and I'm sitting there like shaking with my hands underneath the table trying not to show it. And Becky was like, I would be so angry if any of my friends dated my brother. It would be like the end of our friendship and da 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 da. And I was like, huh? And Becky looked me dead in my eye and she said, if you dated my brother, we would never be friends again. Mm. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. And I remember your mother, I swear, she looked dead in my face when she said it. Like, she knew,
like she knew
what I was feeling and what I was thinking.
Right.
And at that time, what you were thinking, what you were feeling.
Right.
Because at that time, we had expressed to each other that we were both feeling each other in that way, right, so to speak. And I swear she looked right at, like, in my face, and I was like, can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Right. Right. And that almost ended the relationship between you and my sister.
It did. It ended it for a couple of months. But ended it in the sense that we weren't as close as we were at that point, but we still were doing the same things that we were doing.
Because we were still in church.
Because we were still in church together. We still had color guard. We still had obligations.
Still in school together.
Yeah, we were still in school together. We had obligations that required us to be together.
Right.
And when we... It just wasn't the same when we were together. Mm-hmm. Like, we danced at church and everyone would say, something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Because when Rebecca and I used to dance together, we would bring the house down.
Absolutely. Every time.
We would usher in the presence of God like it was our job.
Right.
And we danced together and it was like, like that. Like, right. Nothing. Like, everybody was like, something is wrong. Because the vibe, the spirit is not correct.
Right.
But yeah, it ended it for... I mean, it changed it. I wouldn't say it ended it.
Obviously, it did not end it.
But it changed it for a couple of months. It also also changed you and I's relationship as well.
Absolutely, because I love my sister.
Because there was so much, almost hatred, mm-hmm. and shame and anger attached to our relationship, to our feelings at that point,
right.
that we convinced ourselves that there has to be something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I kind of, not tapered off, but
mm-hmm.
kind of tapered off.
Right. It's 'cause you were, like, you said you were 17. Mind you, I'm 5 years older than you. So mm-hmm. at that time, I'm 22.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm expressing interest in a little girl, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that part of it was mm-hmm. wrong. That part of it was inappropriate. And also, there was the fact that I was taking advantage of you, and that I was, you know, I enjoyed you being attracted to me, but there was also other young ladies that I was interested in as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so... So I was enjoying the attention that I was getting from you, and I was definitely, you know, I wasn't rejecting you. I was definitely, you know, giving some of that attention back so that I could continue to get that attention. But I was also, you know,
giving attention to other
people. Other girls as well. So
and flaunting them in my face.
So yeah, the relationship did not. I didn't say you were wrong. But obviously, the relationship was not right in the beginning at all.
At that time, yes.
It was
a relationship based off of the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, in Song of Solomon, it says, "Do not awaken or arouse love before its appointed time."
Mm.
So at that point, I think what God was doing was planting the seed
mm-hmm.
of this relationship in us. But both of us not being mature enough to see that, mm-hmm. discern that, or to understand what was happening is we felt it and we ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
We never gave that seed the appropriate time to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And we never gave that seed the appropriate time to like nest in the soil.
Right.
We basically saw a bud mm-hmm. and we scooped it up and ran.
Right.
Versus letting it do what it was intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, we were out of season.
Mm-hmm. Out of season, exactly.
So it took quite a long time
mm-hmm.
and quite a lot of separation for the seed to grow.
Right.
And there was a lot of time in between there where that seed wasn't getting watered.
Right.
Where it wasn't getting sunlight.
Right.
Or cared for.
Right.
But somehow it still managed to grow.
Still managed to grow.
When you went off to college, well, when you went off to culinary school, you had already graduated college.
Yeah, you had a degree, yeah.
To culinary school. And you had moved to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very lonely time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you were like the sole one that I was telling everything to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard when you were not available to me like that mm-hmm. anymore. And that, I think, more than anything, kind of, in my opinion, repaired my relationship with Rebecca.
Because
I kind of had to rely on her because I had, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Not rely on her, but I kind of had to like start to reveal all of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a year later, after you went away, I graduated and I went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went away and I realized that there's a whole world out there.
Right. Of.
And I remember the first day I walked onto Eastern University's campus There was young men who were, hey, what's your name? Hey, what's your name? Hey, where are you from? And I'm like, wait, what?
Who, me?
And I was like, there are other boys in the world besides Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think the relationship shifted for me and also for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always used to make myself available for you.
Absolutely.
Whenever you called, whenever you needed me, whenever you text me, like, what you needed was priority for me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you called me and you wanted to talk, it didn't matter where I was or what I was doing. I would drop what I was doing and I would be there
mm-hmm.
for you emotionally.
Right.
Because obviously I couldn't be there for you physically because you were 7 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went to college, I had...
You had your own life.
I had my own life. I had my own friends. I had my own things that were going on. I was involved in different clubs and it was also because for me, there's a constant, like when I'm home, when I was in high school, there was a constant reminder of you because I was always with your family.
Right.
This was me by myself. This was not with Becky. This was not with anybody from guard that I knew. This was not from anybody from church that I knew. It was me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me doing what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
basically. And I became less available mm-hmm. to you. When you would call me, I'd be like, hey, what's up? What you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then I would, ha, ha, stop it. You're so funny. You'd be like, what? And I'm like, can I call you back?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, yeah, sure. And I would never call you back.
Wah, wah, wah. That was really good for you, though. It was really good for me. It was a wake-up call. You know what I'm saying? That you ain't the center of the universe. So, it dropped me down a peg. Of course, I wasn't feeling that then. But looking back at it, it was definitely beneficial for both of our lives for us to be separated like that.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And we've both made our mistakes.
Right.
Some of us more than others. Right. But we both made our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow...
God bless the broken road. God bless the broken road.
This relationship, these feelings,
mm-hmm.
these emotions that we had towards each other
right.
never went away.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm what? 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
About to be 21.
Right.
So you were going through a situation
mm-hmm.
at the time, and the situation kind of made you reevaluate life mm-hmm. and family and right. things like that. And you called me and you basically told me that you loved me and you wanted to be with me. You wanted to date. And I said, oh, okay, let's give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we dated, quote unquote, dated mm-hmm. for about what, like 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
And then you called me and you told me that, yeah, you just didn't think that this is what God wanted for you and this is not what was meant to be. I said, okay. And I said, totally understand. Okay. And you said,
that's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have nothing else to say? And I said,
nope.
No. I said, what do you want me to say? I understand. If you feel like this is not the leading of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. for you, then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I mean, we're still friends, right? And you were like, yeah. I was like, okay, cool. So at that time, I was working at TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. This was probably... my junior year mm-hmm. of college, because I was living at home and I was working at TJ Maxx mm-hmm. and I was walking to the bus stop, and this was after my shift, and this was probably like maybe a week later mm-hmm. so I'm walking to the bus stop mm-hmm. and you call me, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And you're like, why do you hate me? And I'm like, what? And you were like, why don't you care that we broke up? Why don't you care? And I was like,
I was so freaking toxic, bro.
I was like, what do you mean? And you're like, why don't you care that we broke up? Like, that's all I can think about is why you don't care and why you just are okay with us being friends. Like, you had, like, were you cheating on me? Did you have somebody else? And you, I'm like, no. And you were like, so why don't you care? Why don't you care that we're not together? And I'm like, because if this is not what you want, then I want you to go find what you want, because I care about you enough
to let you go
as a person to find what you need, what best soothes your spirit and what best enriches your soul. Mm-hmm. What God wants you to have, that's what I want you to have. You're like, but I just don't understand. I thought you wanted me. And I'm like, that's not the point. This is
so embarrassing. But it's the truth, though.
So we're having this conversation. It takes me about an hour to get home.
Mm-hmm. On the bus.
On the bus. Because uh-huh. I had to take the bus, which only is about 30, 40 minutes. And then I had to walk. Mm-hmm. So... funny story, I used to catch a bus right where the church is, where your family's church is, right there. Mm. I would sit on the steps and wait for the bus. Mm. Anyway. So we had this whole conversation, and we're talking the whole time. And I'm like, Michael, it's okay. You're like, I just feel like everything is wrong, and I just don't understand. Like, my life is falling apart since we broke up. And I'm like, it's been a week, bro.
Relax.
It'll be fine. And you were just like, I just don't understand why you don't care. And then I remember later, a couple days later, you sent me that Daughtry song.
Yeah, still alive, but I'm barely breathing.
No, the Daughtry song, Life After You.
Oh.
And I was like,
so bad.
You were like, I still have hope that one day we'll find each other again. And I'm like, bro, it's been like 2 weeks.
I'm sure it was longer than 2 weeks.
I mean, it probably was, but and then so then I think I was 21. Mm-hmm. No, this was like right before. So that was the summer going into my junior year. So probably now this is October. Mm-hmm. And you were trying to woo me. You're like, I know this is, you know, that you and I are meant to be, and this is where God's calling me to be, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And you were like, so let's date. And I'm like, No. And you were like,
What?
You were so shocked that I said no, because no. I've never said no to you before. Mm-hmm. I've always been a love-struck
little girl,
high school girl who had a crush, and I would follow you with my nose open and do whatever mm-hmm. you asked. Mm-hmm. Within respect, within mm-hmm. reason. And you were like, so let's date. And I said, no. And you were like, what? And I said, you have to understand that I'm not a kid. I'm grown up. Like, mm-hmm. I work. I go to school. I go, you know, I do all these things. And at that time, I had two jobs. I was working at the YMCA and working at TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm paying for my own way through school. Like, you know, I've experienced things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And you were like, why? And you're asking me all these questions. And I said, because I'm worth it. And if you really want me,
then you'll work
for it. It's not going to be easy. Damn right. You're going to have to work for it.
Amen, sister.
And over the next couple months, you did.
Mm-hmm.
You went back home to Florida because you were visiting in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And you called me every day.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me a text almost every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't got school tomorrow.
So they out acting up.
So they out acting up. It's 9 o'clock, but they ain't got school tomorrow.
Is it a holiday or something?
It's President's Day.
Oh, President's Day.
I know that because I'm a teacher.
Okay. Continue.
So you called me every night. You would send me a text almost every morning. Good morning, sweetheart. I hope you have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
You would pray with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you would do a lot of things to show me
mm-hmm.
that you were willing to work.
Mm-hmm.
You even showed me a respect that you would, hey, so a bunch of people from my job are going out after work, okay? So, like, I'm going to go,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with that? I'm like, sure.
I'm in Pennsylvania. I don't care.
I'm in Pennsylvania. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Like, mm-hmm. you a grown man. But now I look at it and I show you are showing me respect.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't get it at that point, but you did a lot
mm-hmm.
to show me
right.
that you were willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't make it easy.
No, you did not.
I did a lot of things. I pushed you away at every turn
mm-hmm.
as best I could. While you were trying to...
What makes a happy ending is a troubled middle. What makes the good times so sweet is surviving the bad times. We live in a cut and run world. At the first sign of trouble, we will throw a whole relationship, a whole friendship, a whole person away and not give it a second thought. But what we don't realize is the strength that we need comes from the struggles we endure. So stop, think, talk to your spouse. Is it really time to end things? Or do you just need some help? Don't give up without a fight, and remember, you are not a mistake. You are a solution. I'll see you on the next episode.